There's no question that the big dog can hunt, and the big dog in Arkansas right now, and I tell you, if you don't know anything about this, you should. Scott Suggs just won $1 million at the FLW Cup, and Scott, I guess probably your ear is ringing, people calling you on the phone, doing radio interviews, TV, everything going on for a guy that lives in Arkansas has got to be pretty fun.
Hey, it's been amazing. I mean, I just walked out of the Cracker Barrel restaurant here, and people I've never met in my entire life are turning around at the tables. They're getting up and they're coming over to my table congratulating me. Driving down the road this morning, I was going to do a TV show this morning and my wife's riding with me. We're going down the interstate at 5:30 in the morning and a trucker from no telling what part of the country he's from is laying on the horn and honking and everything. It's totally amazing.
Well, you know what, folks, if you can't tell, he has no voice and he's good enough to be able to come on Bass Fan Radio. Scott, you and I have had a history of giving each other the dickens all the time, and, you know, it's kind of tough with no voice, but we're going to stay do the best we can here. Now, talk about this event. Number one, you know, you were a little concerned about getting in. You got in, you know, you made the cut. You knew this was on your home lake. You know that like the back of your hand, but you had to go out there and fish a bunch of spots to catch your fish.
Yeah, I did. In my heart, I believe that the whole entire victory came from just experience on the water, where it's hurt so many times for other anglers to thinking they have the home field advantage and everything. Knowing too much in the past has really hurt people. But on a lake like we fished this last week, the more experience you have on it, the better off you are, because it's a very humbling lake, and the fish are in the stage that we were there. They were, the grass is between, you know, it's not good flipping right now. The canopy's not formed on top of the hydrilla. The lake's a little too high for the milfoil to be in good condition for the frog bite. And the structure fishing just wasn't that great. You know, I practiced for a day or so, and it didn't take me but an hour or two to figure this out. And as soon as I got it and figured it out and everything, I knew that the fish were suspended somewhere. I just had to locate them and figure them out. And all I done is I went to old breaking holes, places that here in another month to a month and a half, you get a surface temperature cool down, shad come to the top, and the fish will just, I mean, they'll break sometimes all day long on some of these spots. The fish already live there. They're suspended in these trees. They're just not coming to the surface to feed. And I was able to, you know, pick out enough of those areas and be able to hide during the week in a boat that I had borrowed, kind of a incognito deal, and watch these places. And all I keyed on, Terry, was one little bull, one little shad hopping, just something to tip me off on these deals, because they were offshore places. And that's the main deal to what, you know, what took place during the week.
Well, I got two comments. Number one, you know, the home field advantage is way overrated, because I think, you know, a lot of people, that there's two things that happen. Number one, they say, well, you should have won. That's his home lake. And then if you don't win, they say, well, he just knew too many spots. But you went out there, you executed on a game plan. You had a bunch of spots, over 30, I believe. You were able to go out there and catch them. Now, you were throwing a big worm. And, you know, what made you go to that instead of a jig or some other bait? What made you go to the big worm?
What the deal was, I was fishing, and a lot of people know it, 30 to 80 feet of water, and the top of these trees were topped off at, you know, anywhere from 18 feet to 25 feet below the surface, and these fish were suspended in the top of them, and there were certain areas that the trees that I was fishing were cedar trees, and where the cedar trees were, it was, you know, that makes it automatically a whole lot thicker, and it was harder for me to get the spinnerbait sometimes through this type of cover. So I could take the Texas rig worm and swim it through the same areas and able to finesse it through better and everything to, and it was still very productive.
Well, you caught them on a Berkeley big worm, they're 11 incher. You caught them on an old monster, which is a zoom bait, but you also caught them on a spinnerbait as well. And I think that was a War Eagle spinnerbait. So you've got those three things that we were kind of working in unison. Now, you know, a lot of guys, when they talk about fishing structure, you were fishing trees, of course, but we kind of look, you know, guys that fish a lot, we kind of look at it and we said, hey, you know, this is going to be deep grass type stuff, too. And not everybody can fish that deep grass either.
That's where part of my fish came from also. Not near as many as what come out of the trees, but I was able to catch some, you know, outside, on the outside edge of the grass. And one of the main deals with Berkeley, with the worm that I was throwing, is they've got a whole different kind of, the color of their worm has not got as much of a red. It's more of a purple-tinted red. And their plum-colored worm is really different color of plum than any other worm on the entire market. And for some reason, I have gone through 100-count bag after 100-count bag of this worm in my lifetime on Lake Washita. So when it comes time to pick out a worm, the color I wanted to throw, and the go-to bait, when I knew it counted, it was, you know, that was another thing. With past experience, I didn't have to experiment with colors. I picked up one that I had, you know, that I knew totally about and fully confident, and picked it up and went through it.
Well, you know, that's what it's all about, is that confidence technique. And, you know, going out there and doing it. Now, this is a life-changing experience. There's no question about it. No one has ever won $1 million. Your name goes on the top of the list as the first guy. But, I mean, Scott, you know, you go into the bank, you drop that check off, number one. I wanted to make sure I got photos of that. You got to send those to me when the guy's teeth fell out. But the other thing is, I mean, this changes kind of the lifestyle of Scott Suggs, I would think, as well.
It's not going to change my lifestyle, no. It's just going to, I think, and this is my thoughts, and I'm really hoping that I'm right about this for the future. But I've already set, since the tournament's over, and thought about my tour season for next year, where we're going, what stops we're making, you know, the lakes that I've been to before, what I can do to fish better upon those lakes. I've let three or four tournaments get away from me in the last 3 to 4 years that I felt like I should have won. And I let nerves get to me. 2 years ago, right here on Lake Hamilton, I made the personal cut. And the nerves just overtook me, and it knocked me out. I mean, I had the first bite I had that morning would have put me in the final 10. Mm-hmm. And I just screwed it up. And this weekend, I was able to discipline myself and go through these, you know, overcome these problems I've had in the past. And I've learned how to win at this level. And, you know, the money means a lot, Terry, I'm not going to lie, but the W means more to me than winning for the state of Arkansas.
Well, no doubt about it, state of Arkansas, very, very proud of their angler there, no question about it. Now, Scott, I remember, you know, you and I have had a long history. We've known each other a long time, and I remember you making a comment one time to me, you know, you're kind of a shallow water guy. You know, you like fishing on the dirt. You used to tell me, hey, man, when they're shallow, I like fishing on the dirt. Well, this wasn't fishing on the dirt.
I've been able to become so versatile. I mean, I've gone, what's so weird about it is I love to pick up a spinning rod and a shaky head worm now. Used to, I was power fisherman. That's all I wanted to do is fish with a heavy action rod, big line, you know. And I've been able to become so versatile in the last 2 or 3 years, and I've had to be able to compete. And, you know, going from this is another thing, just like you're talking about the dirt fishing and fishing so shallow. Now, in the last couple of years, and even in the off season last year, at this time last year, I was going to Lake Washita. I've done it Table Rock in the past. I've learned how to go to these lakes. Honestly, in the last 2 years, I've really made myself study and try to understand, and I've tried so many different things and ways. Learn how to catch suspended fish, and look what it's done for me. I mean, 2 years of you know, studying and cramming and trying to figure this all out and everything to give me another strength at my game, and then to win $1 million doing it, you know, that takes a cake.
Well, no doubt about it. You know, you're just one of those guys that I just absolutely most honest, most has the most integrity. just, I mean, everybody that was there that I talked to, anglers and everybody else that was at the event, they all said, man, you know, if you're going to pick somebody that you pull for, Scott Suggs is one of those guys. And, hey, I'm going to give your voice a break, Scott. I do indeed appreciate you being with us here at Bass Fan Radio. And there's any money you've got, a little extra, you want to just send up to the poor guy doing radio here, please feel free to send me a check.
Hey, I understand. And I tell you what, y'all, hey, Bass Fan means the world to me, and I appreciate y'all.
Have a great day, Scott. Thanks for being with us. I'm Terry Brown, and this has been Bass Fan Radio.